Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
My question: when were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Here's one from the text line. My house was burned to the ground. My neighbor's side piece had the wrong address. Luckily, my wife and I were on vacation when the fire occurred. LARP on, boys.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
Wow. Come back from vacation. Your house is burned to the ground.
How do you not?
Because your neighbor's side piece wasn't quite sure where your neighbor lived.
Jesus.
Damn, man. Good times. Hello, Chelsea. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I'm calling in regarding actually my dad, then my boyfriend. So my dad's in his 80s now. Back when he was in his 20s, he had a handgun stolen from his home.
Uh-oh.
Fast forward, right, 25 years later, he gets a call from the police down in Tacoma. They arrested a criminal, had his handgun on him, and they gave it back to my dad.
So he got his gun.
Wow.
So he got it back. Two years later.
Wow.
25 years.
How many different hands do you think that gun went through?
Oh, God. Who knows at that point, 25 years later?
Was it in decent condition?
Yeah. Still in working condition.
Hmm. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, was it like an old school revolver?
It was.
Yeah.
It was a 38 revolver. Yep.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense for the time.
Okay. Sure.
Damn.
Right?
And he actually got it back.
My grandma.
He got it back.
99 years old. 357. Right beside her bed.
You think she can still pick that thing up?
She slept with it beside her bed her entire life.
But you said at this point she's not even sure of her own age. Hopefully your mom
where the bathroom is. Yeah. That gun has to be there.
Maybe
I don't even think she could pick it up.
I was going to say 357.
I mean, it's not loaded, right?
No.
Okay.
All right. There's bullets in the drawer underneath the gun.
That's okay. I just want to make sure the gun itself was not loaded, man. I'm like, this is not going
to
end
just
well.
She's already forgetting stuff. You don't want her to shoot just like just a family member coming up the stairs.
My brother tried to get that thing put away when his kids were young for years.
And she wouldn't budge?
Not happening. Door's got to close in the bedroom.
Right.
That's it.
I told you I worked with a guy, Chi-Chi's, Thaddeus. Someone stole his gun out of the... He was also the resident drug dealer and all this. But we got along real well. Ted, you'd like him. He has one of those big smiles you like.
Oh, yeah.
I just got a smile at you. I'm telling you. The room lit up. He also might kill you. But really great smile.
He looks happy.
He always look happy. Except this one day, and again, it's his work locker, Chi-Chi's. We all think we know who stole his gun, but you couldn't be sure, and you're not really going to point fingers. Thaddeus was pretty sure that he knew, but instead he simply addressed everyone instead of singling this guy out. And again, he's a known drug dealer, and he made it very clear. He's like, look, there are a lot of expletives in this, so I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but essentially the message was, someone stole my gun out of my work locker. I know that it is one of you. You have until tomorrow morning to return the gun to my locker because I will kill you if you do not. Like, you will be dead, and I think I know who it is, which is kind of what set it off. Because I'm like, I'm not worried about it. And even when he talked to me, he's like, man, I know your dumb ass didn't steal it. I'm like, no, I didn't steal your freaking gun.
You're going to steal the VHS?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm more likely to steal the goddamn drugs you have in the locker than steal the gun. But even then, we got good business, right? Anyway, fast forward the next morning, Thaddeus comes in. Guns in his locker. And it was dropped. Because he would say, hey, man, you get it back in my locker. Because you will be killed if I don't get it back by tomorrow morning. And if you do, no questions, no follow-up. Not going to ask anybody anything. So, again, I think I know who did it. No one was going to fess up, obviously. But, yeah, that just came in. He's like, guns in the locker.
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Bright smile. But the man will kill you. Hello, Betsy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
drive Honda Elements, and I think it was about 4 years ago, my husband was working at a shop up on 127th and Aurora, you know, great part of town, and he gets up work, starts the car, and just hears this, he's like, what the heck is that? Well, his buddy's like, yeah, I think you just got your catalytic converter stolen. Oh. He's just like, oh, hell, heck. So being the handy kind of guy he is, he orders one off of Amazon and replaces it, and, you know, works fine. Month and a half later, I'm up at the Costco at Shoreline. Get in my car, turn it on.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, you know, he had told me the story about his, so I knew right away what had happened. And he bought me, you know, another one off of Amazon, to the point where every time he logged back on, Amazon had a buy it again.
Okay. So, yeah. So, okay.
We always replace those.
So why don't we hear as much about that as we did 5 years ago, before COVID?
I know. It was so crazy because it was taking the shops like weeks to get you in. So that's over, like, you know, we can do it ourselves. But, yeah, since then it's been fine, knock on wood.
Do you think they're just cracking down on the, like, the scrap guy? Like, look, you can steal anything you want, but you're doing it for money. So the people that buy it obviously know where you got it.
That's always been my argument. It's right. Like, we know if they're selling it in scrap yards. Like,
right. So I think maybe they started cracking down on those guys.
Because you check it on
pawn. We want documentation.
Right. You check it on pawn shops.
Checking on pawn shops for sure, right? Catalytic converter. Yeah, you're right. For a while, man, it was like the hottest thing going on.
But I haven't heard that. So now it's just take the Hyundai and drive it through the pot shop.
Right. And steal the cash.
That's the wave.
But again, it's always the people that fence it. Not so much people that steal it. Like, if you don't have an audience, then the show's not going to go on, right? So the bar that I used to live close to, and it had a fire, it reopened in like 6 months. But they do a lot of cosmetic crap on the outside. But one of the last things they needed to do before they're open was put up the gutters, right? No big deal, but they had copper gutters. They weren't installed yet. They were kind of leaning against the building. They were all stolen. About a week later, copper gutters rearrived. This time, they actually installed them. They are up on the roof of this place. The next day, someone had gone up there and pulled down the copper gutters off the outside of the building. 2 days later, aluminum gutters, they've been there the whole time. But again, to me, it's like, who's the guy that buys the copper gutters? You know goddamn
well. Who buys
the
catalytic converter? Right.
Right. That's the people you crack down on.
Yes.
That's all. You know, think about, like, Prohibition.
Yeah.
If you legalize alcohol, the violence goes away.
Poof. Well, it's like Sudafed. So if I get a Bartell or Rite Aid, whatever, and I need, you know, the stuff that you can make, what can you make
meth.
Out of that?
Meth.
All right. So they're going to ask for my ID.
Right. Because you have an allergy. Stuff
because I have the potential to turn that into meth, I guess.
Yeah.
So they need to know who I am so they can go, okay, this is the guy that's doing that. So I cannot figure out as much as
I'm buying copper gutters off some sleeveless Yahoo.
Yes.
Yeah. Who hasn't been asleep in 7 days. Like, oh, he seemed on the open up.
I'm sorry, man. I think the same way about this. You want a cured graffiti? If I walk into a Sherman Williams and go, yeah, give me 50 cans of spray paint. Let me pick all the different colors out of me.
Yeah.
Unless I'm, somebody who has been asked to do a mural or something like
they
that.
They do, but they'll stop you for that. I did not realize. We'd gone to Home Depot years ago.
I should have to give ID.
Yeah. My question
They will. We were spray painting outdoor furniture probably 15 years ago, right? So the wife and I were like, all right, go to Home Depot. We'll buy spray paint. But we picked a bunch of different colors. And I don't think that me and my wife look like taggers. But hey, I guess you can never be too sure. But yeah, the lady asked for ID. My wife and I are looking at each other like, for what? She's like, spray paint. I'm like, why do you need ID for spray paint? And then she explained the whole graffiti thing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
if I'm commissioned to do a wall, I get it.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I can say, look, here's where I'm doing it. This is the side of the building I'm doing it. The owner wanted me to do this. I'm doing that. If not, you're like, dude, 50 cans of spray paint.
Yeah, for a 15-year-old kid.
What do you got going on? You drove up on a bike.
Again, when is it happening?
What do you mean? When does what happen?
Like, what time of night?
With the graffiti?
Yeah.
I'm always surprised, right? Because I got the light rail track at the end of my driveway. So I will take the dog out at night. Say it's midnight, 12:30. Nothing. There's no one around. I get up the next morning, take the dog out at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there's a full color. And I'm like, when did you do this, man? And to their credit, look, man, here's my thing. If you're going to tag, at least have some artistic ability. Because there are some tags where I'm like, that's actually a great piece. I understand that building doesn't want it there.
Correct.
This is an artist who's, yes, they're breaking the law because they're tagging the place, but it's great art. Other guys, like, the straight penis, like, come on, man. It's not even a good penis. If you're going to do a penis, like, do an artistic penis.
I just, like, I've driven home before at midnight or whatever, and it's just like...
You never see
him out there doing it, but I see it all along I-5.
Yeah.
Any tunnel you go through. And some of the, like, the one tunnel we got to go through every day, I'm like, that is
there's some
tight
really,
quarters.
But there's some great work down there, man. Really good work. I mean, I'm impressed. Because one guy had a really good piece, and then someone else covered it up. But my understanding was, in the tagging community, for the most part, man, you don't cover someone else's art with your art. It's like when bands had to put up flyers. Yeah. The whole thing was...
You wait for them to play their show before you put yours on top of it.
Man, there used to be this one band in Baltimore. They were notorious for covering everybody else's crap. They ended up not being able to get gigs because no bands would play with them. Like, look, man, it's just the unspoken rule. Our show is 2 nights from now. You covered it up with yours a week from now. If everyone knows that you're a band who did it because the name of your band's on the flyer, dummy.
Right. Tags, sometimes you could tell it's gang stuff because they'll cross it out to be like, no, this is our territory. Right.
I get
you
that.
Can't, right. So sure. It's like, all right, you could see it. But you're right. Some of the art stuff's like...
I'm like, dude, I like that piece.
I say it all the time. I grew up on the Metro. There is nobody that didn't grow up in the PG County, D.C. area that doesn't know Cool Disco Dan.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, when you were on the Metro, you saw those tags everywhere.
And I just want to point out to the taggers, the F word, it ends with a CK, not just a K.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be crude, at least spell it right.
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, this is last year. And keep in mind, I'd been working with this guy for about a year and a half in a warehouse that has about 50 employees. He goes, I'm there on an office day. I'm usually, you know, driving around the city to do my job. And he goes, hey, while you're here, can I borrow your car? I need to make a run real quick. I go, oh, sure, Scott. Go ahead. You know, man, here's the keys. Don't worry about the gas. Just bring it back, please. And lo and behold, this MF-er just takes off. Quits over the phone, and it took until last week that the only notification I get is from State Patrol that my car is being auctioned off, and I have a balance owing of $3,000.
Jesus, man.
And
so you never saw this guy again?
Nope. I had his phone. I knew where he lived. He had already moved out before I could get there. This was his whole plan that day, and it gets picked up out, what is that, Highway 18, cutting through over to 90, so out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he never responded, and at this point I forgot his last name, but, I don't know. Hopefully karma gets him, because I learned a long time ago it's not your job to inflict karma. Because all that does is bring karma back to you. So I'm just at a loss, I guess.
I think at that point, you don't worry about karma. The beauty is, if you continually make bad decisions, inevitably bad things happen. Right? I mean, that's the thing about making a bad decision.
You're going to get caught.
Yeah, something bad's going to happen. You can count on that. And this guy sounds like someone who, within a reasonable amount of time, something bad's going to happen.
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
By the way, graffiti artist checked in with us. All right, so first of all, he says, no graffiti artist pays for cans. Come on, guys. Our bad.
So they're stolen.
More than likely, yeah. But he also says, Ted, any guesses? He has the golden hour for graffiti art. In
3 to 4.
2 a.m. So 2 a.m. is the golden hour for us.
All right.
That's good. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled, man.
All right, I got one more question. Some of the stuff on the signs, like, it's not easy on I-5 to get up on those.
Some of those, yeah, blow my mind.
Like, so what are you wearing, a harness with repelling gear?
They got to be good at climbing.
And ropes?
I don't know, man. There was one the other night that really caught me on 5, because some of them I go, okay, I understand how they got up there. A little dangerous, but I understand. But there's one in particular where I cannot wrap my head around, like, how did you get up here, man? And how did you get such a massive piece done? It's impressive. I'll give them that. So there you go. 2 a.m., golden hour. Hello, Carly. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola. So you guys are my favorite radio show. You're awesome.
Well, thank you.
My time is
My mom, Karen Bodine, was murdered in 2007 in Olympia, and it's still an unsolved homicide.
Your mother was murdered, you said?
Yep, that's what I said.
What were the circumstances around this?
She was found dead, naked, off Little Rock Road near Rochester.
Jesus Christ.
So it was not a home invasion?
No, it was not.
So was she hiking or just out on a walk or what?
We're not really sure. She was at a friend's house, and then the next day she was found murdered. You can Google her name or anything. I do a lot of advocacy and stuff.
How old was she at the time?
She was 38.
Okay. And how old were you then?
I was 18. I was a senior in high school.
So you said 2005? This happened 20 years ago?
2007.
Okay. Did she have a boy? Did she have a boyfriend? I mean, was there any way that you could help?
She did have a boyfriend, but he's not a suspect.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So no one has any leads at all?
Nope.
Wow. Because disgustingly enough, we have done a poll before for Big Dummy, which basically was this. If you disappear, who do we contact?
Right.
A family member? A coworker, you know, someone you've been in a relationship
with. Who's your main suspect?
Right, exactly. Depending on, you know, your group of friends and associates. Who is the most likely person to be involved in this?
Right. You know? And did you have any suspicions yourself? You really just have absolutely no idea.
Oh, I have suspicions, but I can't prove it. And, in the court of law, unless you prove it, can't really. It doesn't matter.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Have you reached out to one of those podcasters that do this crap? Because seemingly
I've done a bunch of different podcasts. Actually, there was a true crime thing in Seattle called Crime Con that my mom was a part of. That was crazy. I'm trying to do more podcasts and stuff, you know, always bringing awareness, all that jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it seemed like, you know, you get what I call the citizen sleuths, as it were, but like. Yeah, they leave no stone unturned, and they obsess about it. And that's like a lot of times you get a lot of progress as a result of that.
Has the DNA technology changed or anything that would be, you know, that would help now?
There has been progress in, you know, DNA and just technology in general. A lot of the hang-ups, though, and what people don't understand is funding for that kind of stuff.
Right.
Not every department or agency has that kind of stuff. And so, it's stuff like that's really frustrating.
Okay.
So a lot of times, so they can have some of the evidence there. The tech is caught up, but they can't necessarily get the funding to test it.
Yep.
Wow. How do they believe she passed on? In what manner?
It was definitely murder. She was strangled.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I hate to say this. Like, it could just be random.
It could be. I mean, it could be.
No, totally. That's what's scary about it, man.
I was going to say, that's almost worse.
Well, she's 38. Did she frequent any bars?
Yeah, she was kind of a partier, you know.
Okay, well, that plays into it.
I mean, it does, generally, yeah. It really does, generally speaking.
You know, if she's found the next day, then maybe she was out that night. You're a senior. Right. You're old enough to be at home on your own.
Right.
So, you know, depending on the time, that would be where I would look. Like, look, where were you last night? Do you have a receipt? Is there a credit card that's
I'm sure they've gone through all that.
Yeah.
Because
if not, you paid in cash. And that's, you know, that's,
yeah, but there
that's not likely.
You got to get the funding. Right? Because like I said, more than likely they have the evidence sitting there, but if you don't have the funding, you can't test the crap.
Right.
Damn.
Our question, when were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Who sucks less on the way at 4:30? In the meantime, our question, when were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wyatt. Welcome to the men's room.
Boom, bitches.
Boo!
So, I'll make this short and sweet. You guys remember the Barefoot Bandit?
Absolutely. Stole what? Planes, right. Boats, all that stuff.
What's it got? Colton Harris Moore?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I'm from Orcas Island. And back in 09, I was about 14. And it was during the summer, and I had just discovered weed. So I was out at the lake all day just getting baked. And I come home, and before my parents were home, I had a king-size Butterfinger up in my room that I was thinking about all damn day.
Yeah, weed will do that to you.
Yeah.
Yes, it will, especially when you first start chiefing. Anyway, so I go in just blazed as hell, and I go up to my room, and I remember putting that thing on my desk, and it was gone. And there was this little note that just said, sorry. And apparently the Barefoot Bandit, this guy shimmied up our gutter to the second story, and there was this tiny little window, and he somehow got it open, broke into the house, didn't take anything. He rearranged some stuff, but the only thing he took was my goddamn Butterfinger. And, man, you don't know how upset I was.
So people in those planes, boats, cars, he stole your Butterfinger.
You sure he didn't go downstairs and raid the fridge a little bit more than that?
No, man, that was it. He just moved some things around and then took my Butterfinger and left me a little note that said sorry. And then,
So how do you know it was him for real?
So when he ordered that book off Amazon, like how to fly a plane,
yeah.
That was our neighbor where he was staying at their house, and the cops, like, he ran out and grabbed it from the Amazon driver, and it was all on camera. And I guess across the street, they could see him coming from my house.
Oh, really?
All right. I'll be damned.
I mean, okay. If you're going to have something stolen from the Barefoot Bandit, a Butterfinger, probably the best you could do.
He stole Bob Rivers' plane.
Yeah.
And successfully flew the thing somewhere. I can't remember where.
Did he make it to, like, Eastern Washington? I know he ended up in the Bahamas.
I don't know. Right? But he got his plane.
He got the plane. Somehow he flew to the Bahamas, and then they caught him in the Bahamas when he had stolen a boat and he was trying to get out.
Yeah.
My thing is, how do you steal a plane. How do you find a place to land it?
Right.
I mean, I guess you keep the transponder off, maybe, yeah. Something. And it's like, once you're on radar, like, hey, man, you're not supposed to be here, and you certainly aren't supposed to land there, but yeah.
Yeah. See, my money goes, radio guy can buy a plane, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, different times, man. Different times.
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Once upon a time in another life, I was a good little Christian Mormon girl. And my heart went out to everybody. And I housed this family with 7 children.
How many?
In my house.
You say a dozen?
7.
Oh, 7.
7.
Jesus. 7 children.
Like, what ages are we talking here?
What's that?
What age range are we talking?
7 months. To 13 years.
All black hair, darker skin.
Yep.
Typical Mormon.
Okay.
So this family was in need, so I housed them in my house. They stowed away their Suburban that was out for impound in my garage.
Okay.
And then, like, some things started to go down, so I called the impound, and I was like, the Suburban's here. Come get it, you know, but I couldn't put the children out. Anyway, so stuff happened, and
what is stuff? What stuff is happening?
Oh, just like kids being told. It was like a CPS investigation.
Okay.
Anyway, so I go to church and I come home. And my husband's car is gone. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, he wasn't going to go, you know? So then I call him, and I hear his phone ringing upstairs. He's asleep. And I was like, where's the car? And he's like, what do you mean, where's the car? It's in the driveway. And I said, no, it's not. The car is not in the driveway. The mother, hi, on shrooms, came and stole our car. And I really, at the time, I didn't care about the car. It was my kids' baby bracelets that were in the car and my husband's birthday gift that were in the car.
So where did where did the car go with this lady?
So finally, I called the police, and I'm like, hey, well, she's already wanted. Somebody said that they spotted her downtown Olympia. I'm like, okay. Putting little pieces together, our kids went to school together, so I picked my kids as little detectives. And we eventually, 1 week later, I found my car in some abandoned lot off of Highway
503. Hey.
Yeah. Bedroom colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
The mouth on that church lady.
That's right.
Coming up pretty bad there.
You want to go back to
sure. her? She's a Mormon.
All right, Elizabeth, no more cussing, please.
Yeah.
Hello, Elizabeth. Sorry. That's all right.
Hey, question for you. Was this lady strung out on all kinds of drugs? Like, I don't really picture people on mushrooms committing a lot of crimes.
Right.
Probably. She probably was.
Were they all her children biologically?
Yes.
So why did you take them in? And was your husband on board with this idea, or is there something you had to convince him to do?
So ever since the beginning of my marriage in 2000, we took in all kinds of people from everywhere. It's just, he was always on board with it. It's something that we always did. It actually is, unfortunately, the end of our marriage.
Only that
the last person that I took in took him.
What?
Oh. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that you house some lovely lady, and the next thing you know, your husband's gone?
Yeah.
Wow. Damn, man. And
maybe like, foster an animal.
What's that?
Foster an animal, like a dog or a cat that needs a home.
I have fostered many animals.
Okay. I believe that. Jesus, man. So that's
So have you ever talked to your ex-husband?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time.
Where is he now?
I don't actually really know. He doesn't want me to know where he lives, and I'm okay with that.
Wow.
I mean, like, I know where, but I can't remember, like, the town.
Okay.
You have kids? Like, why, if you talk to him, how do you not know where he lives?
We have two children.
All right.
Well, how do you guys how do the kids see their dad? Does he come and pick them up?
They're adults.
Oh, okay. All right.
They can go see their dad when they want.
Do they know not to tell you where he lives? Do they not want to tell you or what?
Well, I know where he lives. I just don't remember the town, like the name of the town.
Well, that's a start.
because I moved my daughter there. He just asked me to please not show up, and I was like, deal, this is a long drive.
But you didn't do anything. So why is he so worried about you when you were not the one who did anything to him? So what is his fear?
This is a very good question. I think the very last person that I gave refuge to in my home after 20 years of providing refuge to underprivileged and endangered people, she definitely cast like some spell over him because he turned into a completely different person. And she had him convinced of all kinds of things about me that were not true.
Okay.
And he went with it.
All right.
I found out that about a year or so ago, he ended up having to put a restraining order on her.
Oh.
And
so he has a type.
Right.
He doesn't want to, he doesn't want you to know where you know he lives. He
doesn't want her around.
He doesn't want her to be able to legally get next to him.
So he likes women that he doesn't want to be around. That's the sense I'm getting out of it.
Wow. Man, I thought my dating life was messed up.
God damn, man.
Jesus.
I mean, if that woman had that much control over him, it makes sense now he would need a restraining order against her.
I'm tracking with that.
Like, I
that
also, makes sense. Right, given that this lady was like, yeah, we brought somebody in, he left with her. Hey, probably, I don't know that she would do it, but I can imagine he'd be worried.
Yeah. I can
like,
see
that's
that.
Not the nicest way. You know what I mean? It's right. Not like, oh, we were talking about breaking up. Like, you left with the person we were giving a home to?
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Miles knows. It's like with sunshine. Like, that's right. You let her go next door once, that dog never came home.
Or Juan Montgomery comes over your house and rips you off.
Jesus. I still don't know all the stuff that kid stole.
I don't think Juan Montgomery knows all the stuff that he stole.
Yeah. I don't either.
Hello, Clayton. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, sir.
So my story is not too crazy, but for me, it's pretty crazy. 10-15 years ago, woke up one morning and was back living in Edmonds. Parents asked me if I'd heard, seen, smelled anything weird over the night. And I didn't know what was going on, so no. It turned out sometime throughout the night, some guy, we had an old garage door, not mechanical or nothing. You just lift it up and, you know, free roam to everybody. Some guy, I guess, stole a car running from the cops. He went, made his way into downtown Edmonds somehow and opened his way into our garage and found my catching gear at the time and put that on. I guess he was being chased by dogs, so he was scared of the dogs. Put on some catching gear for armor.
Baseball catching gear?
Yes, baseball catching.
Okay, he physically put this on.
That's very specific.
To avoid the dogs.
Yes, yeah. He opened up the bag. He put the helmet, the chest protector, the shin guard. I mean, he put the whole deal on. And he found a gas can for, you know, lawnmower, whatever. He poured gas everywhere over the garage. He poured it on the seams of the doors, trying to get his scent knocked away or whatever. And went through our backyard. He knocked a hole in our fence. He went over a few more. I think he went through 7 or 8 properties to make it onto this elementary school property. And he ended up laying down in the swamp in the middle. The cops had to use a helicopter, but they ended up finding him and waited him out at the swamp, just waiting for him to think it was safe to leave, and got him pretty easily. I was surprised. And they even brought him back up to our driveway to put him in the back of the car just to show us who it was.
Did you get your catcher gear back?
I never did, no. We asked them about that. They told us it was evidence and they would need it for 6 months to a year and never saw it again.
Look, for the white suburbia safe haven known as Edmonds, they got some weird crime up there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, very weird.
I'm telling you.
I figured he would have stole your parents' walking poles, since apparently in Edmonds, to walk on the street, you must have walking poles.
Especially if you're trying to get up that hill off Main Street.
You know? I don't, it's weird,
going
man.
To the Landro.
Like, every time I go there, I've only been there like 6 times, and every time I go, I look at my wife like, is it me, or does everyone have freaking walking
poles? My kids used to tell me stuff every week, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Edmonds?
What kind of stuff, though?
Just weird crap, man. Like, I was shocked. To me, it seemed like, we're the perfect family, we moved to Edmonds.
Sure.
You know, we know everybody's business. Not car theft, you know, people shooting at each other.
Shooting would surprise
Shooting
me.
Shooting would surprise me. Car theft, property theft wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah. Well, they got nice rides.
Man. I mean, Queen Anne used to be the...
God almighty, yeah.
It was unbelievable.
If you had a car, we're going to steal it.
Yeah, like when my buddies lived up there and they were just renting a big house, I was shocked. I mean, like one night, somebody came home late from the and just didn't lock the door. And I mean, they woke up to just people in their house grabbing stuff.
Damn.
Jesus. When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, bicholas.
Hola.
Hola. So it started with, I matched with like this pretty girl on like an online dating, and we talked back and forth for a few days, and texting and whatnot, and eventually she kind of asked for some like naughty photos, and we exchanged those pictures back and then I just get this weird text message that has like my full name, a list of all my family members, my like Facebook, and it just is like with, and then another photo of like our messages and like my like nude photo, and basically this, I don't think it was even her doing it. It found out to be like some catfish was trying to scam me out of threatening to send this photo out to my family members if I didn't send them some money.
Now, let me ask
you. How much did they want?
Yeah. It started with like $1,000 at first. And then I was like, I don't even have that amount. And they're like, what can you afford? And
what is your penis worth?
And then it was like, it was $400. And then it was like, buy Bitcoin. And it was the whole ordeal. I just got ahead of it and told my family members, block this phone number.
All right, that's a smart move. Now, let me ask you this, though. Now, were you just naked, or were you posing and doing something in this picture?
Oh, I'm holding my member.
Yeah. All right. Look, man.
My face wasn't in it, so in theory, like...
Yeah.
It could have been anyone.
Well, at least you're mature and understand enough what was going on. Because there's a lot of kids out there that do drastic things once that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
So that's a serious problem.
Well, I didn't want them to, like, hit on my grandma and try to scam her out.
Your grandma knows what your penis looks like. Trust me. She's babysat you.
She does not know what it looks like as an adult.
Well, that's true. I mean, she knows a smaller version.
I'm assuming.
She knows what the puppy looked like before it became a doll.
Right.
Well, they were like, I'll ruin your life. Enjoy the life of the porn star and stuff.
We'd all like to enjoy the life of a porn star.
Very much so.
Yeah,
if you can promise me that, do what you will, friend. But, yeah, I mean, they tried that here. I got an email thing, and the guy, like, I knew there's no way it's right. He's like, we have a video of you, like,
all spam. We'll put that in some of this.
Yeah. I'm like, no, you don't. And then they're like, we have all your Facebook friends. I'm like, you don't. I'm not on Facebook. Right? So everything they tried, I'm like, man, I know... 95% of the time, you guys might hit it out of the park with this. Like, you're talking to a Neanderthal,
brother. 5%.
The more issue, like Miles is talking about, is like people, like especially teenagers, don't know who they're talking
absolutely.
To. Right? So they send those pictures, and then, right, it's, I forget the name of it.
No, it's kind of a catfish.
Sexploitation.
And,
right. But, like, Miles is right. Some of these kids have taken their own lives. They're so upset about it.
Oh, no.
And it is awful.
Like, with them, I get it, because they're all on social media. But like I said, I almost felt bad for the guy trying to scam me. Like, bro, I'm so sorry. I'm really not on social media.
Yeah, and some of them, too, you just got to be smart enough when you look at it, because, it just doesn't make any sense, right? Like, sometimes it's like your UPS delivery. It's like, I haven't ordered anything.
They try everything.
When were you the victim of a crime? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, JJ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, I like to tell this story sometimes, but as long as I have Men's Room IPA, which you can find in the yellow can,
nice.
I feel better about it. But I'll start with back in October of 2015, the wife decided to say, let's take our son and his new wife and their new kid and said, let's go on a trip to Italy and Germany.
All right.
And show because our son was born in Germany. So say, show everything about what happened there. So I said, how long would you be gone? She said, let's go for 3 to 4 weeks. And I said, okay, I'll stay here and watch the dog and get some projects done here. And at the last second, she said, no, I want you to go. So I said, okay, we'll go. So we go to Italy. Then we go to Germany. And then we asked a friend of my son who graduated with to watch the house. However, right before he left, he said, hey, can I bring my girl over? And I said, sure, no problem. I met his girlfriend. She was a really nice gal. But what happened is he broke up with her. And then he decided to bring the girl that he met online. So I didn't know that. So we were there, and sure enough, fast forward to we are in Germany now, having a street party at midnight, and at right then I started getting texts from fraud alerts from the credit cards.
Uh-oh.
These credit cards that I had in the safe. So they were all tucked away, like buried by a floorboard and everything. And I'm like, that's impossible. How could somebody have gotten to those? So I'm getting text after text from Citi, from Chase, everybody. And I call the friend and say, hey, something's wrong here. I'm getting all these texts about fraud. And he's like, well, I'm not there. Let me go check. Well, the time difference between Germany and here, because we were about to get on a flight that morning. So finally he gets here with the neighbor, because everybody was working at that time. He finally gets here, and then the first he does is he FaceTimes. He goes, "I'm really sorry. Our house was totally ransacked. They had dishes. They cooked stuff in here. Everything was gone, including the cars. And we had to get on a flight. The wife and everybody else got on the flight, an earlier flight, because I got my flight at the last second, so I had a later flight."
Who did it?
So it was... Yeah, so we had to, and I apologize, this is long. You can stop me anytime.
No, it's okay. Just who did it?
Well, bottom line is when the detective, when Eddie Bauer called and said, "Hey, we want your husband to come back and get all his clothes," because the guy that was trying to get the clothes was using my expired password because I got a new one for this trip. Went to the detective and said, "Hey, I think it's this guy." And the detective said, "Yes, I know it is." And then we started the whole process of, it was a group of about, what they did is they took all the stuff, took it to a meth house, and then they all scattered everything about. So it went to five different counties where they had to put a task force together.
Jesus.
Which included the FBI, because it got so big, because the last thing that happened was they found a hard drive of all our pictures in the car in the Great Wolf parking lot where they arrested the guy. It was a bit of low criminal.
Okay. All right, so that's the one you knew. Okay.
Who's like that? Just asked them.
I tried to ask it.
No,
who did it?
You should ask again.
Who did it?
Because the first three times weren't good enough.
Who did it? Who sucks less? Coming up at 4:30, you're listening to The Men's Room.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.